On October 1st, the minimum wage in Haiti rose to approximately $5 for an 8-hour day. This was despite the efforts of the U.S. government, who had worked with factory owners to try to block the wage increase for Haitian factory workers. However, a recent study by Better Work Haiti found that almost all of Haiti's factories still pay below the minimum wage. Piece rates in most Haitian factories are so low that it's hard for an average worker to earn even minimum wage within an ordinary working day. Ralph Paul is a member of Winnipeg Haiti Solidarity Group, which is the local chapter of the Canada-Haiti Action Network. He was born in Haiti and has lived in Canada since the 80s, and he joins me now in the studio. Welcome, Ralph.
Thank you for having me and discuss Haiti. And so there's a lot to learn and to talk about Haiti.
I wanted to start just by talking about an event last week where there were a lot of foreign politicians and celebrities in Haiti celebrating and promoting the opening of a new industrial park, Caracol. And former U.S. President Bill Clinton was there, as was Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and talked about how this industrial project will bring tens of thousands of jobs to Haiti. What type of jobs will be created there?
Pretty much the job that they are expecting to offer Haitians with the industrial park Caracol is basically sweatshop jobs in a garment factory where they earn minimum wage, and if that, as you mentioned earlier in your introduction, Better Work Haiti had just released a report saying that out of 22 industries, garment industries in Haiti, 21 of them has failed to respect the minimum wage that was $3 then, which is about, well, $3 US a day, and now it's been increased to about $5 US a day. So if they were not able to pay the $3 US a day, so I doubted that they're going to want to pay the $5 a day.
Is there any enforcement of this, or is there any organizing by workers to make sure that they do get what they're supposed to be paid?
Pretty much, the labor movement in Haiti is very weak because there is a lot. The unemployment is very high in Haiti, as you know. And so anytime a group of workers try to organize themselves, they fear that the owner will threaten them or dismiss them altogether if they try to form themselves and ask a better pay and so on. So there's a few that are trying to come together, but it's really weak, and the owners pretty much do as they wish in most cases.
Is the Haitian government going to benefit from new industries coming to Haiti in terms of, tax revenue or other sources of revenue?
Well, I don't see the Haitian government profiting much, if any, from this new industrial park. Pretty much, there are three companies right now that are the tenants for the new industrial complex. It's a garment company from South Korea. It's called CT. And there's also Sherwin Williams. They do paint for housing. And there is a third one, Dominican Republic factory a company. It's called D Class. They're also involved in the garment industry and footwear. And they were pretty much given a carte blanche, if you will, meaning that they don't have to pay no taxes for the next 15 years. They don't pay no taxes on import or export in Haiti. And most of the money that was that was spent to build that complex is pretty much money that was bought to Haiti by World Bank, USAID. So those companies, they have very little risk right now because they can really pack up anytime they want. They don't have to pay taxes, and they get cheap labor. And so you cannot get better deal than that. So, unfortunately, this is a policy that was tried before in the 80s under Duvalier, where they encourage the farmers to leave their land, to go to the cities, and expect to get jobs from the factories, and really the kind of living that they were, well, the kind of money that they were getting paid was not sufficient enough for them to earn a decent living, and that's what gives you all those shanty town that we become known of, like Cité Soleil and so on. So this is something that we tried before, and it doesn't work, and this one, it's no different. If you will, I would like to add something to the topic here, since we are at it, is that the industrial park was built on 617 acres of land, fertile land that was being worked by farmers, and they were pretty much forced out of those lands in promise that they will get other lands, but they never really did get no land at all. And so the industrial park is now built, and that leaves over 400 families without any work at all. So all those farmers right now, they have no way, no means to send their kids to school because they don't have anything going to sell to the market to send their kids to school. So and on top of that is the fact that there is really no infrastructure in place to accommodate all those chemicals that are going to be used in that plant. So you can imagine the kind of damage that will do to the environment around that industrial park.
So is there a risk that this region, which was being used for agriculture, won't be suitable for agriculture anymore because of industrial activity and pollution?
Well, most of the land there that was very fertile, the complex is right on top of it, really. The surrounding area there, there are some agriculture that can be things that can grow as far as fruits and vegetables and so on. But like I said, giving the kind of chemicals that's going to be used in that plant, I don't know if they're going to be much use for some time to come.
An action that got a lot of international attention a few years ago was when Haitian farmers burned seeds that Monsanto had sent because of fears that it would destroy agriculture there. Since then, has international development aid been more appropriate to help make Haitian agriculture, you know, more self-sufficient or to promote food security within Haiti?
Well, with all due respect, I don't think that really that's on the agenda. I must say that there are some NGOs that are doing good work in Haiti, but generally the overall number of NGOs are, in Haitians' opinions, are not doing nearly what they should be doing. So I don't think having a plan to make Haiti self-sufficient in food and whatever is in the agenda at all. Because, like I said, taking away fertile lands from farmers to build an industrial park give you a clear example that's not in the agenda. I must say that Bill Clinton himself, he admitted in a debate in the Senate in the U.S. that he's partly responsible for the dire situation of Haiti in terms of agriculture. Because we forced the Haitian government then to lower the tariff for all imported goods that are going to Haiti in the benefit of the U.S. farmers. So clearly that Haiti is a good market for them because although, you know, we are not a whole lot in Haiti, it's about 10 million of us, but the fact that Haiti is importing all the good for them, it's I think it's where they want to maintain Haiti.
I wanted to talk a bit about the political situation in Haiti, and currently we've been hearing that there are protests, people protesting the high cost of living, the lack of employment, and also the government. From what you've heard, how stable is the government of Michel Martelly?
The government is very, very weak, and is getting weaker by the day. This is a government that got in power really with the help of the international community, and the doing that by funding an illegal election that banned the four most popular parties in Haiti, giving a clear way for Martelly to become president of Haiti. And even with the four parties being barred from the election, Martelly himself was not the one that registered the most vote among the Haitians, but the international community with AOS, they intervene and pretty much force the Electoral Council to put Martelly's name ahead of the other candidates. And so Martelly really has to he pretty much have to do what the international community asked him to do. And that's not a very good thing for Haitians. And if he's going to do what the Haitians want him to do, then he will have to pretty much he will have to not please his the international community. So, like I said, the Haitian people in Haiti, they are not pleased with the way he's governed. There are daily arrests, illegal arrests in Haiti. He pretty much want to form a electoral council right now, where the constitution say clearly that he must have 9 members in order to get the electoral council, but he's trying to do it with only 6 council, and that's something that the Haitian people doesn't want at all. The reason why he wants to do with 6 instead of 9 is because the Senate, which normally run with 30 members, only has 20 at the moment because the election was not done on time to renew the vacant seats. So now you only have 20 out of instead of 30 senators. So meaning there is no way that the Senate itself can vote to have the 3 members represent the core. So he's find himself in a dilemma where he cannot really have the 9 electoral council that he would like because the Senate is not in a position to delegate 3 members to represent it.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today. There's a lot to discuss in Haiti, and it's definitely something we're going to follow and continue to talk about. And I was going to let people as well know about the events that you have coming up.
Well, before I leave, I must say that people that would like to know a bit more about Haiti can definitely go to CanadaHaitiAction.ca. It's a website that will give you all the information that you need about Haiti. And we have a petition going on about what we call On the Tenth campaign. That's something that, we're trying to reach 3,000 signatures. Right now we're at 2,600. So if you go to CanadaHaitiAction.ca, there will be a link there that will take you to the website where you can register it, if you will. And thank you, Karen, for the interview, and NCKUW, and all the best.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And I've been speaking to Ralph Paul. He's a member of Winnipeg Haiti Solidarity Group, which is a member of Canada Haiti Action Network. And the Winnipeg group is bringing author and activist Justin Potter to Winnipeg, and that's on Tuesday, November 6th. And he has a new book. It's called Haiti's New Dictatorship, The Coup, The Earthquake, and the UN Occupation. So that's November 6th. It'll be at Mondragon, 91 Albert Street. And there's also a film screening. It's the film Haiti, Where Did the Money Go? And this will be shown at Cinematheque, 100 Albert Street, on Thursday, November 22nd. And there will be a panel discussion following the film with activists who are engaged locally in Haiti solidarity work. And you're listening to Mud and Water, mudandwater.org on CKW 95.9 FM.